It's a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Now, one can't have missed the riots, protests and riots across the UK all over the weekend. Very similar to what happened here in November. Very similar to what's happened here, by the way, when people lose control of themselves during a protest. And I want to talk about it because I put up a tweet yesterday, and in the tweet that I had said, as much as we all condemn violence and we condemn the behaviour of people who set fire to buildings, who loot, who do whatever it is that they feel sometimes is necessary to make a point, the majority of people who are doing those things, those nasty things, are not protesters. They're not people with a political axe to grind. They're just opportunists who are looking for an opportunity to cause trouble. Keir Starmer in the UK has referred to everybody, including those who are protesting, as right-wing thugs. So much so that it started to trend, right-wing thugs unite. And you have normal, everyday people, mothers, grandparents, people putting up tweets and Facebook posts with the hashtag right-wing thugs. The British police this morning have been accused of two-tier policing. And this is in relation to some of the videos that you may have seen going around. For example, in one particular video, there's a group of men who seem to be from foreign origin kicking the living shite out of some poor lad on the street. And the policing seems to be very different to, say, the policing on the opposite side of the argument. And they've been accused of two-tier policing. And there is no doubt that in one scene I've seen, there were a group of men who are clearly Muslims because of what they were chanting, standing brandishing machetes, knives and all sorts of weapons, and the police asking them, not telling them, or, you know, attacking them or charging at them, but asking them to put down their weapons or to hand in their weapons. Now, that shouldn't be the case, of course. It's illegal to carry any kind of weapon whatsoever. Now, as I said yesterday, I put up a tweet, and Conor Gallagher from the Irish Times decided to have a go at me, as well as one or other two people. Because what I said was that as much as we all must condemn violence, because violence is not the answer, we need to look at the root of the problem. For example, there's no point, if you stick a knife in somebody, there's no point in a hospital trying to stop the bleeding without removing the knife. In other words, you have to look at the root of a problem. There are always going to be a section of society. Take Britain, for example. 70 million people, or almost, thereabouts. There's probably a million people within that 70 million people who will cause problems during protesting. And out of that million people, there's probably 300 or 400 who have no idea why they're even out on the street and just look for an opportunity to cause trouble. They don't even know what the protest is about. They couldn't care less. They're 17-year-olds who basically hate the government and hate themselves and hate the country. And they hate everything. And they just will rob, they will loot, they will stab, they will do whatever it is. But that doesn't mean we should tar everybody with the one brush. And anybody who has an issue with the core problem, which is immigration policy, both here and in the UK and many other countries across Europe, is a right-wing thug. It's easy to label everybody a right-wing thug because that silences the debate. Keir Starmer, of course, is not going down too well in the UK. Probably the biggest mistake ever voting for him in the first place, because he's not tackling the problem. He's tackling the symptom of the problem, similar to what we're doing here in Ireland. But is it wrong of me yesterday to blame the government? Yes, I blame the thugs for the violence, of course. But is it wrong to blame the government? Whose fault is it? I mean, that's the question we're asked today. Whose fault is it that this civil unrest has happened in the UK and in Ireland and in Northern Ireland over the weekend? Mind you, Northern Ireland, it was bizarre. It's the first time I've seen, you know, Republicans, Nationalists and Loyalists all coming together. Three different flags I've seen flying at the same time. The Red Hand of Ulster, the British flag and the Irish Republican flag all flying with three different people holding them, talking to each other. I've never seen any government manage to do that in the history of Ireland. There you go. Anyway, whose fault is it? Let me know what you think. The number, as usual, is 085 122 55. Let me go to Edward first, if I can. Edward, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm reading reports of paddies sitting in loyalist pubs, supping pints together.
Yeah.
United for the first time ever against what they perceive as a common enemy. Now, while it's easy to blame the government entirely, that's not entirely accurate. These lads are coming in here in their thousands, whether the government likes it or not, whether you like it or not. And sticking them in tents or hotels in Belfast as a form of containment is a recipe for disaster, as we're now witnessing. How long does the government think they're going to get away with keeping them in hotels and B&Bs while we figure out what to do with them? If Ireland was invaded tomorrow morning, Niall, I'll say that again. If Ireland was invaded tomorrow morning, there'd be a call to arms, but not one single shot has been fired here against what many see as a threat to our security, our sovereignty, and our livelihoods. But more importantly, more egregiously, our children. Now, not all of them are like that, but a lot of them are. The loyalist fear of a united Ireland is nothing compared to an Islamic takeover. Whole sections of London and Birmingham are predominantly Muslim, and I've gone in there and looked at them. The only law that exists is Sharia law. And that's not a law, by the way. That's just something that they've conjured up to allow them to marry
to be fair, Edward, yeah, look, Islam is like Christianity in a sense that depending on which sect you are, I mean, you know, you interpret the Quran differently. I mean, Ibrahim Noonan, for example, is a regular contributor to this show. Lives in Galway, and he's been a Muslim all his life. Even though he was born in Ireland, he's been a Muslim all his life. And the sector grouping that he belongs to is not recognised by, say, for example, the Ali Salim, who would be the head of the Clonskee Mosque here in Dublin, a spokesperson for the Muslim community. He wouldn't recognise Ibrahim as a Muslim because they don't recognise his interpretation of the Quran. The same way as in Christianity, you know, you have people who take, you know, their religion very seriously and have a different interpretation depending on which Bible they read, the King James or the New Testament. So what I'm saying to you is, not all this idea that all Muslims are bad, that has to be got rid of. There are, without a shadow of a doubt, there is an element within Islam who are clearly dangerous. There's no doubt.
I totally agree with that. But you can also, in the same breath, say that not all individuals who protest against migration are far right.
I would agree with you. I protest against it. Verbally protest against it.
And I'm as anti-violence as you are. I don't think it's the solution to anything. I think dialogue and sitting down and talking with those, you know, who are concerned about what's happening to our country is the, you know, the right thing to do. But some people have serious economic and social concerns about what's happening here, you know. But if you're a go-check and heroin dealer and I call you that, you're done. You've no legitimacy, you've no credibility and no voice at all because I've spread a rumour about you and splashed your face all over the newspapers. That's what's happening now. And the Gardaí, in concert with the PSNI, claiming that the fellas going up in the train to join in solidarity with the people of North are all thugs is absolute bollocks. That's nonsense. I mean, there might be one or two elements in there.
There's always going to be elements. I said this, you know, there's elements within protests who are there no matter what the political reason. They're just there to start trouble and to be involved in violence because they see that as an excuse to, you know, throw rocks and missiles at the guards, to loot shops, to burn down cars or turn over cars. They just see that as an excuse to cause violence. They don't need much help in that department because they're just thugs. And there are thugs. You know what I mean? But here's the job of a government. There are always going to be people who are on the fringes of being violent. And it's a job of a government to have a stabilised society where that doesn't happen. You know, because they'll do that, you know, for anything, for income tax, for the health service. They'll do it for anything. It doesn't matter what the purpose is. They don't care. They're just violent people, you know. And we've seen that, by the way, in the UK particularly, we've seen it this weekend on both sides. We've seen the Muslim community walking around brandishing machetes, you know, and there has been two-tier policing. There's no doubt about that. It was an interesting video this morning. Sky News are showing it. The head of the British police coming out of Downing Street, and he was asked about either the BBC or somebody about you've been accused of two-tier policing. He took the microphone and threw it on the ground off the reporter. Now, that was the Sky News. Now, this is, you know, if it was GB News, you could kind of say, okay, he has a problem with GB News. But this is Sky News, who are pretty lefties. And he took the mic and threw it on the ground and walked off.
Yeah, the media are going to make a big play on that. They're going to focus on those breakaway elements with the machete in the hand, with the chair trying to break through a hotel door up in Belfast into the Ibis Hotel, as we saw.
They do the same in the UK, into the Holiday Inn in the UK as well.
They're doing the same with the UK. And then we're seeing a line of Saracen vehicles lined up in a row, which is reminiscent of the troubles back in the day.
Wow, yeah, I know. I saw that video there.
We're, we're, we're seeing all of that, and the media are making a big play of it, conflating it, and, you know, saying the police are going to use battle rounds and so on and so forth. But what they're doing is they're labeling everybody with the same tarred brush. And when you do that, you polarize and you stigmatize legitimate individuals. And then what you do is you stifle legitimate debate on the migration issue.
But they stifle the debate all on their own. I mean, look at the figures from Red Sea last week. They're exactly the same, as more or less, as the figures last year. That, you know, over 72% of people believe the government are letting too many people in. Over 40% or whatever it was believe that the government are doing a bad job. You know, so people clearly have a problem with it. But yet we're seeing a government completely ignore that. And the end result and the symptom of ignoring that is going to be, you get to a point where people will protest and they feel the right to protest, and absolutely they have that right to protest. But then there are part of that grouping that feel, if we're getting nowhere protesting, what have we got to lose?
Well, that's where you get, you know, the explosions that we're seeing all over the UK. I mean, that is mostly in response to that horrific stabbing in Southport. And, you know, to say that, you know, all of these riots are justified because of that is unreasonable. You can't justify riots on the basis of three innocent children being stabbed. We had the same thing happen last November. Mm. But what happens is there's a certain core element of society that will react that way, Niall.
Well, I think these incidents that happen are just nails in the coffin. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not that incident. It's not that these isolated incidents that happen, and they are isolated, thankfully, you know, are the reason why everybody is out there. But there are just another nail in the coffin, another nail in the coffin of the government doing a bad job. You know, and it doesn't matter if it's directly related to it, because as you rightly said, people perceive it that way. And that's the way they perceive it. They perceive this element of lawlessness where, you know, kids get stabbed, sadly, or something happens like that, as another reason to be anti-establishment, as another reason not to agree with the government and their policy on immigration, which is the number one issue at the moment. So they see that. And unfortunately, that leads to what we have at the moment. I'm not saying it's an excuse, by the way, but it leads to it. And if the government can't see that and don't see that, we have a real problem. So when you've got Simon Harris coming up to an election, up to the European elections that time, you had Simon Harris doing a U-turn on everything they'd said before. You had Helen McEntee talking about hiring private jets to deport people. You had Simon Harris saying, let's get tough on migration. You had Simon Harris saying, there'll be no more tents on the canal. You had Simon Harris saying all these tough guy things. And none of it ever happened. And I said that before the election. These are false promises just to get your votes, right? None of it ever happened.
Yeah.
But those are the things they needed to do, but they didn't do them. And they're not going to do them. Because you heard Rodrigo Gorman, he's adamant that no matter what the people of Dundrum or the people of Coolock or the people of Newtown Mount Kennedy or wherever it is, or Crooksling or whatever it is, think, we're motoring ahead. We're doing it whether you like it or not. That's the kind of arrogance about the government at the moment.
No, far be it from me to pick up the left-handed baton in a 400-metre race here. I would never side with the government on most things, but in this particular instance, I have to empathise with the fact that they're really up against it here. These fellas are coming through our doors whether they like it or not.
But they made it easy, Eric, or Edward. They made it easy for them.
Yeah, of course they did. Of course they did.
Then why are you siding with the government when they're involved?
Let me finish that point. Are we to blame for the fact that, you know, the UK have decided to clamp completely down now on all migration, including Finland and Poland? Are we to blame for that? Because what we're doing is we're seeing the overspill here. Either that or all these guys go over to Rwanda on the next flight. That's the backlash. So what we're now dealing with is we're dealing with an extra problem on top of the one we already had. And even McEntee admitted it, that we're overwhelmed. And she's right. And I empathise with that. And what do you do? How do you respond? Well, they're doing the best they can at this moment.
They're not doing the best that they can. I'm surprised that you've given them a get-out card here. They're not doing the best that they can. They really aren't doing the best they can.
When you have a flood, okay, there's only so many sandbanks you can put up against your door, sir. Come on. be reasonable.
Absolutely. Okay. But the government, hold on. The government knew this 3 years ago. 3 years ago. But even last year, I had Nigel Farage on the show, and he said that if the Irish government think that they have it bad, they ain't seen nothing yet, right? Because the numbers were tripling coming across the Mediterranean or coming across the channel into from France into the UK. So we knew this was going to be a problem for Ireland in the long term as well, because we know a lot of people who come to the UK come to Ireland as well. That's how they get to Ireland, through the UK usually, right? So we knew all of that. All of this stuff we knew 3 years ago. And yet Roderick O'Gorman, you know, puts out this tweet in eight different languages welcoming people to Ireland, you know, telling them, you know, they'd have a front door key within a certain period of time, right? Now, I'm not saying that directly invited people to Ireland or people suddenly saw that in the middle of Nigeria and went, hey, they were coming anyway, right? But at that point, we should have been working with Northern Ireland. We should have been working with the First Minister in Northern Ireland. Right, your ports, our Larne, you know, Belfast Airport. Look at that video from Gavin Pepper during the week of five people getting out of a taxi at the iPass Centre. And he asked the driver, where did you come from? Belfast Airport, right? We should have been working with the government. We should have been tripling the number of people that were processing people. We should be identifying who somebody are. There is no reason in a modern world we can't identify a person within 72 hours. There is no reason. None.
I'm not making excuses, but you're using a language there. Should have, could have, would have. Okay, it simply didn't happen. There's not one simple politician in government that you can name that has got the finger out on this issue.
But you're talking about putting sandbags up against the door. We should just close the door.
No, I'm using that. I'm using that as an analogy.
I'm giving you back the same analogy. Close the door until we get it right.
Absolutely. But it's all very well after the fact. What we're dealing with now is something that I don't think anybody could have anticipated. The level of intrusion, the level of invasion, I don't think anybody could have predicted that, no matter how many warnings we were given. I mean, that's all just words.
But I'm not a government minister, and I predicted it.
Ah, Niall, even that would go into the book of Nostradamus, you know. I mean, there's been so many predictions made, and some of them haven't come to fruition. You know, where do you stop and start with those?
Okay, stay there, Edward. Let me just go to Joseph. Joseph, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Joseph, what's happening in the UK is slightly different to what's happening in Ireland. People in Ireland tend to be protesting more so about accommodation. It's not about culture or race or whatever it is. What's happening in the UK seems to have turned into going from the accommodation issue into, you know, kind of Muslims versus English people. That seems to be what's happening. Whose fault is all of this?
Well, I always say the government. The government are definitely at fault. Was there ever a referendum or a kind of public vote on it? And I mean, the latest general election over there was kind of the closest referendum they had. And you say Labour won, well, it's because of their system. They haven't really increased their vote share from the last vote at all. It was parties like UKIP did really well, but they only got, I think, four reps in where if it was proportional, they should have got something like 90. So, I mean, the will of the people is completely against this. And that's the role of government, to listen to the will of the people and to act on it. But they seem to be acting completely contrary to that. And they can't say, oh, we didn't know, or oh, we think this is in your best interest. It clearly isn't. There is no benefit here to opening the gates, letting in thousands and thousands of people, I think it's a million now in England, who, by their nature, by their background, don't want to integrate, don't want to benefit the whole country.
Not all of them. Some of them do, but not all of them, yes.
No. Look, you have to have a very good idea of what is taught in, you know, the religion. I don't even want to call it religion, but the whole idea behind Islam, it was founded, 500 AD, and their whole thing was, you must conquer lands of the Christians, you must attack everyone who's not a Muslim, you must, you know, their whole mentality is fight everyone who's not us, conquer them. And it's pretty brutal. Like, if you go back and I'd encourage everyone to read up about the Barbary Wars,
I could also quote, if you want to start going back in history, I could quote the Crusades as well, where Christians did the same thing.
We wanted to reconquer the lands that were originally, you know, where the cradle of Christianity was. They were ours. They were conquered. We wanted to conquer them. That's history. As soon as we went in, they got the Holy Grail and left again. Fine. But, you know, their whole mentality now is not to integrate, is not to be a benefit, is not to... You ask them, what is Muslim teachings about us? It is, let's take over. These people are, I think,
okay, but Joseph, to be fair, the protest that was organised last week by Tommy Robinson, whatever, 100,000 people in the middle of Trafalgar Square, a peaceful protest, sent a strong message out. I don't think the government were listening, to be honest with you. And I think that was kind of what sparked it off as well. The fact that you have 100,000 people out there, and basically they're all referred to by government as right-wing thugs, even though most of them are just families and people on a day out for a protest. But I mean, the problem is, the next step, when people feel, some people, not all obviously, those who are kind of like-minded feel they're not getting anywhere, the next step is violence, unfortunately, or civil disobedience.
Oh, absolutely. And I look through history, I'm actually surprised that it's gone this far. Like, I mean, there were three young girls murdered recently. Before that, we found out the truth of the grooming gangs. Before that, you know, there's crimes upon crimes upon crimes. And historically,
to be fair, the three girls were murdered by a man who's currently going to be before the courts, who will most likely get the longest sentence in British history. And he was born in Britain. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. He may have had a lot of resent. That seems to be the case. You know, he's quite a resentful individual.
He was one of the people who did not integrate, was hostile to the host country, and obviously, you know, was encouraged, stimulated to act, you know, violently by whatever community he had around him. Maybe it's an online community, maybe it's people he knew in person, but that sort of mentality, that sort of person needs to be routed out. Now, again, like, I'm surprised it's got this bad and something hasn't been done, because if you look at, you know, revolts in history where they overthrew the government, it was for a lot less than this. It was for, you know, we're raising tax by 5% or we're doing this or that. I mean, people are being murdered regularly. And, you know, there's a lot of unsolved murders. Who knows which way it is? But we know that there are certain areas where the native British don't feel welcome, don't feel that this is British land anymore. And that's completely unacceptable. I mean, there has never been a time when, you know, I'm going to say the Irish did anything, you know, foreign. Like, we never invaded lands, we never took slaves. You know, that just wasn't us. So why do we have to take on any? We have no debt or burden. So the fact that the English are letting it happen and then pushing it over to us is completely unacceptable. And we have ways and methods to just say, nope, they're not coming in.
What we're seeing at the moment, all the violence. Mind you, let's be clear, we have to blame the thugs for the violence, right? Because thugs are responsible for violence. But what the spark, you believe that lit, or the government lit the spark for all of this in the first place, as far as you're concerned, the blame lies solely with them.
Absolutely. Like, anyone in power can set up a situation with it, whatever outcome they want. And it might be that they want this situation to enforce some laws. And very recently, Keir Starmer, the new PM over there, he said, you know, to the Muslims, I'm going to protect you. Well, wait a minute. It was three, you know, young English girls that were murdered. He never said, I'm going to protect you.
Okay, well, stay there for a second, Joseph. Let me go to Bernie as well. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand. How are you, Niall?
Yeah, I was kind of slated yesterday by the Irish Times for, I suppose, I wasn't defending the British people by any stretch of the imagination, or defending rioters. I condemned that at the very start of the tweet. But I did say that you have to look at the root of the problem, and the root of the problem is government policy. And that's an overwhelming thing to say, or that's some sort of, I don't know, wow moment when I said something like that. I thought that was common sense.
Well, it is common sense, Niall, and you were perfectly right. But, I mean, I do blame the government. I mean, this is going on. Like, we've had this going on back in our country since the late 90s, when people are arriving from all over the world dropping babies, thinking they get, you know, an automatic Irish passport because they're the baby in Ireland. Like, this is not new. The government are aware of this since way back when this started happening, when we had nothing ourselves and we were trying to build up our country. And then all of a sudden, all these women arrived with no family, nothing, and dropped a baby out in the airport, and all of a sudden they got a passport. That should never have happened.
I mean, we solved that problem back in 2004, overwhelmingly, when over 80% of the population voted to remove that element from our constitution.
Right.
That was called the Anchor Baby Law, I think. I think that wasn't the nickname it was given at the time. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I mean, so it's not new to these governments. Successive governments have known that this problem is an issue. You cannot, and we can't seem to be made to mix. Like, I am very, I'm amazed that the Protestants and the Catholics are finally getting together and standing up for something. Where, you know, and I think that to me means that we are fighting for the one common cause.
But are we are we all fighting for a common goal? Because, you know, when I look at what was happening there, you know, over the weekend, there are clearly individuals who are unhappy with government policy and everything else. But what I see is a lot of 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds going around, you know, smashing windows, robbing runners, you know, burning down police stations, you know, turning cars over. You know, that's what I see a lot of.
That's always, and unfortunately, when riots start, it's never the back, the people in the middle, the genuine people who are out there to make a statement and to say this and this is not right. Unfortunately, they get all tarred with the same brush, and they're not, it's a very small minority of people who are doing the rioting and the violence. It's not actually the majority of people who are concerned citizens who are terrified of what's coming down the line for their children, for their future, for their grandchildren. They're the ones that are out there trying to be peaceful protesters.
Yes, sorry, Joseph.
No, and we know that it has happened before. Both Gardaí and police in England, they get into the riots and they stoke it up. You know, they have undercover guys in there stoking it up, encouraging people because they know they can catch them later, or for, you know, press reasons, they can blame them all as soon as one person does something. That has happened before, and I'm sure it's happening right now. And if there's another riot in Dublin, which, you know, on the course we are, there probably will be, that will happen again.
Yeah, but I mean, I said back in November, the people who were protesting or rioting in Dublin in November that time, who set fire to buses and trams and broke into Foot Locker and all, you know, they're not protesters as far as I'm concerned.
No, they're not. But there is someone in the crowd saying, hey, look, that car, the car's unlocked, go do something to us. You know, there is nudges that they can do. And this isn't conspiracy theory, this is proven, like this is known that they often do this sort of thing because they can then tar everyone with a brush or use that as an excuse to come in with very brutal measures. Mm. So, I mean, yeah, look, the government are absolutely stoking this because their actions so far have did nothing but, you know, feed towards it constantly. Why are they not addressing it? Why is there not a referendum on it? That should be the thing. Why is there not a referendum saying, guys, what are we doing with our immigration policy? If that was done, I could tell you, and I think you'd agree, it'd be 99% would be, you know, against what the current government course is. And they know that. That's why there's no referendum. And so we have to push back against it.
Okay, stay there, Bernie and Joseph, if you can. Let me just go to Charles as well. Okay. Charles, hi, how are you?
Noel, how's it going?
How you doing, Charles? I mean, look, there are horrific scenes that we see, you know, across Britain, particularly at the moment. I know there was a big protest in Belfast. Thankfully, there wasn't too much trouble, but there was some trouble in some of the, you know, the kind of satellite areas. But, I mean, they're horrific scenes. It's not something we want to see, is it? Whose fault is it?
The government's fault, obviously. They set it up as usual, just as they planned, Noel, to be honest with you. Like, this is all a coordinated plan. To have people like basically to push it into a civil war, as far as I can see.
I hear that all the time. Why would any government want civil war on their watch?
Does it make sense? Well, I don't know why they want to have so much control over the people. That baffles me. Why would you want dominion over somebody else? But look at what Keir Starmer was saying this morning. They want to have facial recognition cameras at the bus stops and the train stations now, so that people who are drunk and acting suspicious can't travel to so-called protests. This has already been planned out. It's like it's the start of all the lockdown nonsense. The people have a digital ID. I don't know why people want that. Why the governments want to have so much control over people. But if you can't see by now that we're slipping into a totalitarian dystopian like present.
I'm with you on the point. You know, I'm with you with the fact that we're getting more and more control with the hate speech laws and the European Digital Treaty and all these are just little bits of control, and I get that, right? Actually, I was quite surprised the other day to see the government pass a bill to make sure that cash would always be available, you know, at ATM machines. I think that was just, let's just put that in there to make it look good.
It's a red herring.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but here's the thing. I understand what you're saying about control. But that still doesn't get us to the nub of the problem of what's happening here in Dublin on a regular basis with the accommodation issue. In Britain, it seems to be more about a cultural issue, right? It's more about, you know, British people or English people versus Muslims.
Well, it's a class thing, Noel. It's fascism. They don't care that Muslims or Catholics or Christians or Protestants. And I'm surprised to hear some of your callers getting onto the religious thing. I know the people that are on there are talking about religion. It's about class, Noel.
I personally never said it was about religion. It's about culture. No, I believe it's cultural as well.
Noel, I live 10 years in Trees Garden. I do have a taxi now. I live 2 minutes from South Circle Road, and there was never a glass smashed by anyone near that mosque. They've never caused trouble in their life. And they may not have so-called integrated, but there were families of Muslims that come over here 50, 60, 40, 30 years ago. This is a different thing. This is males coming in from, they mightn't even be from war-torn countries. They're from third world impoverished countries where, yeah, like, they're fighting their own brothers for their breakfast. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to say civilized countries. Like, it's not about like the people up in these so-called elite people. They, like, their attitude towards us is we're just a scum anyway. Do you know what I mean? So they're thinking, why should we not just bring a load more, throw them down to them? Should they're only animals, and they sell drugs to each other, they kill each other, they do. They don't care about us. I've worked with people from all them areas of my life through chefing, and like one guy, his one fellow word for people from Cumberland's window was knackers. That's what they think of us. That's their general ethos, is these people are lower than what we are. And like, why wouldn't we just throw it? Like, look at Simon Coveney coming out 3-4 years ago, before all this got heavy, saying by 2040 we're going to have 10 million people in this country. If that's not a plan, How can people see that's not a plan?
Well, mind you, 2 weeks ago, CSO came out and said on the current trajectory, we'll have about 8 million by 2057.
And we've just signed a UN migration pact that's going to up that number by five times, because they can control, the EU now can have complete control over what's going on in the country. Like, it's a concerted plan to fill this country with
people. And 30% of the population, by the way, believe in population replacement, or believe there's a theory around population replacement, according to the CSO, or according to the Red Sea poll the other day. But here's the thing. I get all of that, and I take on board all of the opinions of everybody in relation to what's happening, and a lot of it I agree with, some of it I disagree with, right? Yeah. But that still doesn't give anybody an excuse to smash the windows of Foot Locker, to set fire to police cars, burn down police stations, or, you know, or basically run riot into hotels, running people out of it.
They're playing into the government's hands now. Like, as far as I can see, they want us in civil war. Like, I don't know, we all have our theories now. Like, that could have easily been us.
Are you far right? Because you would be accused,
yeah,
Charles.
Of course I am.
According to Keir Starmer, I'm probably far right too.
I'm from Drimnagh on my life, and I live in Cumberland now. And we were one of the first people to be out after East Wall, because they brought in 15 to 20 men into Moran Road School and left them there for over a week in between the midterm break. No reason to do it.
Far right is like a term for the working class nowadays.
Let me just explain. So we jumped out of the car to Joan Collins and Pat Dunne, and I had a little argument with them about it. And the only thing that Pat Dunne could say to me in 2 minutes, he said the word far right about 15 times. And this was before it got kind of national broadcast. So they have all these tropes ready to go. They have all these names and these slurs and these slogans to go straight away. So that as soon as you open your mouth, it's boom, far right. Like, there was 10 or 20 women with me, and they were looking at me saying, are we far right or far left? What? Like, people don't understand what all that even means. They don't want to know what it means. All they want to know is, are they safe? Can they protect their families? And when you have, like, 20 men going into a school, and that completely breaches data protection laws, that's what the whole thing was about.
But here's the thing, you know. Yeah, Bernie, like, she's, you know, a woman who's been working all her life, you know, a decent middle class woman. Sorry, Bernie,
I often listen to her.
According to the government, Bernie, you know, sorry, Bernie, but you're far right.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm just concerned about my nation and my future. That's all. Am I not allowed to express how I feel?
She's a woman scared for her grandkids. It's only obvious.
Okay, well, sorry, do me a favour, just because I want to go to Nicholas, because I know he doesn't have much time here. Sorry, Nicholas, go ahead.
Hello, Niall. Yeah, just, I agree with a lot of what that gentleman and that lady were saying just prior to me there. But certainly the essence of your question, yeah, the responsibility lies with the government, absolutely.
Is that a bit of a get out? Because I got into trouble for saying that yesterday. Because their argument is it the government's fault that Johnner runs down the road and sets fire to a police car?
Well, you shouldn't get into trouble for telling the truth, an obvious truth. I mean, you know, anybody saying that is just basically, they're out to get you because you.
It was just Conor Gallagher from the Irish Times. Look, he's a lefty.
Anyway, sure, you know. Yeah.
He's had a go at me numerous times before.
But,
yeah.
But as really, I do think there seems to be a sort of an intentional, almost like trying to drive it towards a totalitarian or police state. And it's very interesting when you watch, like, I don't, first of all, let's be clear about this. I don't agree with any sort of violence. I agree with peaceful, protesting. I think it's really important. But what happens is I think they've laid the foundation. Now, Britain is very different from us. I think it's like 10, 15 years down the road of disintegration ahead of Ireland. That's where you're seeing so much more violence, because it's a very divided society. And here in Ireland, you saw just after the riots in Belfast or whatever, you saw the Irish Times coming out saying, oh, Garda are going to increase the public order unit, you know? I mean, so something is... a hiatus or a crazy thing is created, like a riot or whatever, and then that gives them the reason to increase police enforcement and so on. I actually think it's spiraled out of control now at this stage, Niall. I actually think it, and like you, I was predicting over a year ago that social unrest was coming down the line very fast, and here we have it. We have it in bucket loads. But a lot of these people who are protesting have really legitimate concerns. They're not being listened to, as in Newtown and Kennedy and so on, so on, so on. And what happens then is, you get the people who are angry, young men, a lot of young men who are very, very angry, and maybe a bit violent as well. But that's, I actually sincerely believe that that's what they want. They want a level of public unrest that then allows the implementation of more severe laws and restrictions on people in society is happening, month after month, year after year. Don't ask me why. I mean, you asked the question there, why would they be doing that? I don't know. I think there are bigger...
makes some level of sense, that when you have some level of public unrest, which is controllable to some degree, well, it gives that opportunity, as Keir Starmer's doing at the moment, and the Irish government are doing, to bring in more laws to make it more difficult for people to stand up for their rights.
I mean, the thing is, people are concerned about unregulated migration. And I was just commenting to somebody online earlier today, that they made a comment about it, and I was just saying that, listen, at the best case scenario with these unregulated males coming into the country is that you have criminals being allowed onto the island of Ireland. The worst case scenario is that you have terrorist-type activity cells allowed into Ireland in the middle of the crowd, so to speak, and then to set up. We had McElgun over the weekend being interviewed, the head of the Garda Intelligence, I think it is, and, they were pushing the Russia far right interference. I mean, I was just thinking, Mr. McElgun, why aren't you looking at our government allowing potential terrorists and criminals into the country? How deeply are you investigating our sort of homeland, if we use that word, threat that's been created by the government, Now, this is why I believe in peaceful protest, because I think we have a role to play in objecting to this. But when you get people who are angry and when you're angry, you're out of control. That's it.
Well, the government know the next step after peaceful protest is usually violence or civil disobedience, right? I mean, when people don't get what they want or get some sort of answers due to protest. And we've seen now, 18 months of protests, more protests in Ireland than I've ever seen in my whole lifetime, by the way. There was a lot during the water protests, I know that. But we've seen so many protests over the last, 18 months. And yet we have a government who don't seem to care. And they're more or less saying that straight to the people who are protesting.
It's a policy of escalation. It's a policy of...
Well, it really concerns me. You are right. We're about 10 years behind Britain when it culturally, when it comes to what's going on.
We're on their coattails.
The difference is we're seeing it happening here much faster than Britain's seen it happen slow over time. We're seeing it happening very quickly, right? So, we won't be long catching up. But my fear is, that these kind of things can descend into civil war. You know what I mean? When you see what's happening in Britain over the weekend.
Very easily. And my fear at the moment is that in Ireland, for example, and other countries, but I'm more concerned about Ireland, to be honest with you, is that we're going to see, at the very least, from very serious injury to people and death as well.
I hope
that's what we're going to do. You know, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, I'm not. And we've already had people, you know, murdered and stuff like that from criminals and deranged people who've been brought into this country. But and we need to face up to that. You know, I mean, what's wrong with saying that? And what's wrong with actually saying, hang on, we have a problem here. You know. And go back to scrutinizing and assessing who the hell walks through our borders. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's not far right. It's not.
Well, it is, according to the government.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, exactly. And that's a process of escalation. You demonize.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You demonize and you silence people by calling them a name. It's quite easy. It's like, you know, if you're talking about race, you know, as soon as you say anything wrong, you're a racist. Racist is a great way of silencing somebody, you know, whether they're racist or not.
Like you, I have friends who are different nationality, different race, different religion, all that kind of thing. And, you know, so I'm not one of these people who have these extremist, you know, anti-this or anti-that sort of thing. I'm more humanist than anything else, if you want to put a description on it. But, you know, there's definitely a policy of escalation. Don't ask me why they're doing it. Don't ask me, other than... As I said, I do suspect external forces, you know, having influence on our political people. You know, that would be my suspicion, you know.
Okay.
Their allegiance is not to Ireland and to our nation, you know.
Okay, thank you for that, Nicholas. Let me go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
I've been listening to what Charles and Nicholas and everybody is saying. And yet, you know, here's intelligent people. We're all reasonably intelligent, I suppose, to some degree. And yet we seem to have a better understanding of this than our own government, which is bizarre.
Yes.
So who do you blame for what's going on in Britain primarily at the moment, Northern Ireland, of course, over the weekend as well? Which, let's be clear, Maureen, you know, there's violence. I mean, serious violence.
Yes there is, but a lot of us predicted that civil war would break out in countries. And unfortunately, in England, the cold-blooded murder of three little children, and that tug would have murdered more if he could. That lit the fuse.
But how did that light the fuse for the purpose
it
of
lit
that? But because this guy seemingly was a Christian. He was born in England and Wales, in Great Britain and Wales. So, you know, like there was people on the day it happened. I know there was people sitting there waiting patiently for it to be announced that he only came in last week and he was a Muslim. You know what I mean? They were waiting patiently for that to happen, but it didn't happen.
It doesn't matter, Niall. It still lit the fuse because the people had enough. Every weekend, London was destroyed with pro-Palestinian protesters, Islamists, and the police did nothing. Two-tier policing. They were even asking Jewish people to stay off the streets or they'd be arrested. I watched all these videos. And the same is going to happen here. Because we have, I call him a gormless, now saying he's going to buy up every empty building to house the 20,000 that are going to be arriving here. So it's coming to every town and village in this country too. And at one point, the fuse will be lit here too and we'll be in the same position.
But nobody wants that. Even you, Charles, Nicholas, whatever, nobody wants a situation where people are running around randomly setting fire to buildings or breaking windows. Nobody on any side wants that. That's not the solution. Because, as I answered earlier on, that gives the government the right to turn around then and say, look, yous are all just a bunch of thugs. I told you.
Well, they do it now because they've had enough. Tempers rise. The traitors are not listening to the people. They are still bringing them in. They are shoving them in where there are families. They're putting them into small places, and these are generally working areas. They're not putting them out into the posh places. So what can the government expect? The people are not going to stay silent and allow this to happen much longer.
Allow when you say allow this to happen, what in particular? Because in Ireland and England, there seems to be two separate reasons why people are protesting. Kind of same root cause, but two separate reasons. Here in Ireland, people are protesting over accommodation and people being put into accommodation, near their areas. That seems to be the main form of protest, the main reason for protesting. There has been no national protest in relation to immigrants per se. Whereas in the UK, the main reason for protesting at the moment seems to be, you know, British people versus Muslims.
It seems, yes, it is, because they've had enough of them too.
And what do you mean enough of them?
Because the non-Ireland Muslims have been given free rein all the time. They were allowed to run freely with machetes and knives, and in one TikTok video, the policeman can be clearly heard on the loudspeaker telling the Muslims to put their weapons back into the mosque so that they won't be seen with the weapons. It's two-tier policing because they're siding with them.
Well, I did see that video. That's completely unacceptable. Well, yeah.
Yeah, there is parts of England, it's ghettoized. You cannot, white people cannot walk in there. Over the weekend, there was a 66-year-old lady standing at a bus stop, stabbed to death by one of these thugs, just waiting for a bus to take her to work. That is not acceptable, and people have just had enough.
Stay there, Miss
Hagen.
Okay,
they want it back to a Christian country, like we want ours back, a Christian country.
Okay, but I'm assuming you blame the thugs for behaving like thugs.
Thugs behave like thugs. But the government are at fault. And also, these people that are called international protection applicants, that just came from the EU. There was a time when they were called illegal aliens, and we need to start taking back the correct language. They are alien to us, and they're here illegally, so illegal aliens.
According to the British government and now the Irish government, you're not allowed to use the term illegal immigrant anymore. You must use irregular migration.
I'll use any term I like.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Aaron.
Speech.
Aaron, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. I'm not too bad now. I'm attentively listening to some great comments there. Since the start of the show, I said my feelings would be heavily along the lines of your own there, and I believe Charles and the other gentleman that spoke before Maureen. I do, of course, agree with Maureen as well there, many points she made, but it's obviously a government issue. I think we were all kind of on the same page of that. They can't oversee the reality that is occurring in this country, that occurred in Germany, Sweden, England, Belgium. It's like, it's happening across Europe, and it is indeed happening here, and we'll get a lot worse here. I have great reservation to the stance that the government has taken, in particular in the last 18 months, with certain policies and legislations passed. We're talking about shutting people up, just shutting people out of their own communities, moving people. I'm from Dungarvan County, Waterford, and it's next to impossible to get accommodation. Thankfully, we haven't had the increase that I have seen and witnessed across many constituencies and counties across the country of IPAS centres and asylum seekers, etc. But we have had a hotel closed down, which has had a deep impact in the town. And it's a situation, I think, Niall, and you've highlighted it time and time again, that the government, I think, through illogical ideology and through absolute pathetic thinking, in my opinion, I do believe that they actually know exactly what they're doing. Some of the contributors to the show today have alluded to that point a number of times. You mentioned the government, or why are they doing it, or civil war, and this type of wording has
come
up.
What I say is all the time is that when you have intelligent people, well, we would assume intelligent people running a country, and they know what they're doing, you would wonder why any government would want to bear the responsibility of rioting, civil war, civil disobedience. You would wonder why any government would want that. And would make decisions knowing that would be the outcome.
Yeah, well, Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, some people can say conspiracy theorists here, but
that kind of alludes to the fact that the Irish government, including Roderick O'Gorman and Helen McEntee and Micheál Martin and Simon Coveney and everybody else, are all in cahoots with somebody in Europe or whatever it is.
Right.
I find that, Aaron, difficult to believe. I don't get me wrong, I think they're making bad decisions. But I find it difficult because I don't think they're intelligent enough to be involved with other people and colluding. I don't believe there's a man behind the curtain. You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, Niall, I have to agree with you. I don't think they're intelligent enough. But you can be rest assured our brothers and sisters in Brussels are intelligent enough to implement planning along these lines. And I apologise. My personal viewpoint is, I can tell you, I believe that these guys are puppets for Europe and puppets for the WEF. There's no doubt about it. We had the world. We had the World Health Organization basically come in and shut down our country in a so-called pandemic. We now have the World Economic Forum. Before that, with the Troika, we won't even go there, right? But we have people, the hands of corporations, the hands of outside communities and organizations are here in Ireland. You can be rest assured of it. And I believe they are crippling our country with absolute nonsense and decisions that they are making in a centralized location in Europe. And that is basically, we are being subjected to having politicians that are puppeteered by Europe, Niall. That is my thorough red opinion on that.
Okay, well, hold on a second. Let me just bring Jason in. I have a good few people to get to just before we finish today. Jason, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Yeah, some good points made by Aaron. I don't agree with everything, but there's some good points made there. You know, why would any government want, you know, the scenes that we're seeing in Britain at the moment? And let's be clear, once again, we almost condemn violence and, you know, turning cars over, setting fire, using machetes or whatever it is. I mean, that's just unnecessary. We don't need to go down that route.
Control. Number one, control. They will let us tear each other apart. We've already shifted. I've told you this before. Who doesn't want to be part of the International Protection Squad? You get a badge. You're part of the International Protection. Who doesn't want to protect people? Look at these poor people over here. They need protection. Have you noticed there's only one narrative coming out here, Niall? They are the poor people that need protection. And we are the people in the West with the money and the tenor. And how dare we? We don't want them coming in here and enjoying their fruits of our labour. No, it's a race to the bottom when these come in. Cheap labour. It's being said. Irish people are getting too much money for doing mediocre jobs. Cheap labour. Niall, there's a hotel next to me. Right next to me. I've told you, you know where I mean, where we live?
Yeah.
And it was for families. It was, and we welcomed all them Ukrainian families in 2.5 years ago. We had loads, toys, the whole lot to play. Brilliant. They integrated all the kids are in school. I met a few of them at one of my daughter's parties, whole lot. Next while they all start disappearing. They all just start disappearing overnight, you know, over the course of a couple of months. And then one morning, three busloads pulled up at half time when this village was empty of men and they were all gone to work. And the hotel
Where's all the Ukrainians gone now?
They're gone. You don't know. They disappeared from the school. One or two of them got houses in the area.
I was going to say maybe they got houses or accommodation.
No, yeah. One or two of them did. You said, but most of them are gone. And now what's killing me is they're leaving every morning at 6:30, getting onto buses and going to work. All these blokes, yeah, in high vis, brand new stuff, brand new phones. Where are they going to work? Are they working for the same price as me and you? They're living there free. They're living there rent free, food free, electricity free. They don't have to pay any bills. So are they now undercutting Irish lads and lads that are working here? Are they working cheaper? Are they working for the same? So now they're making loads of money. Are they paying taxes? There's a lot of questions that were not being answered, Niall. You know?
And I understand why somebody working in construction in Ireland, you know, would or a general labourer as such, would be pissed off. Because you are right. You know, there was a huge problem going back during the Celtic Tiger too, where a lot of the big companies were taking on contractors who were hiring, you know, Turkish men and Polish men.
All Eastern European at half the price.
Or whatever, at half the price. Yeah, and I know that went on.
Niall, sorry for cutting across.
There was a big problem with CISC. A mate of mine used to work in CISC and loads of them were let go at the time during the Celtic Tiger. I'm not too sure. It could have been Crow Park when they were building Crow Park. I'm not too sure what it was.
I was on the site, Niall. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. You've destroyed my industry as well. You know what I do for a living. Yeah. They could put two fellas in one truck for my wage and keep that truck running 24 hours a day.
Okay. Yeah, and that's one element of it. And you are right, Jason. You know, and nobody wants to see the race to the bottom and cheap labour, right?
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, because look, the same thing happened in America, of course, with Mexicans working in Florida, you know, fixing roofs for, you know, for $5 an hour.
Half the price.
Okay. Yeah. So, the other aspect to it is nobody wants to see what we're seeing at the moment, which is running riots on the streets with machetes.
So what? Do we just sit back and say, okay?
Well, the government are going to argue we can't just give in to the general public, you know, because then every time something goes wrong, they go out in the streets and start burning places down.
Sorry, the government work for us. Do we not elect them? As I said, I don't blame the government on this. I said it in my text, and I think I said it in my message. I don't blame the government. Why would I blame the government? They didn't just walk into that house up there. They didn't walk into that building and say, we're here, we're taking over. No, they went out and says, listen to the lawyers we're telling you. And Niall, it's because working class people don't get out and vote. I've said this to you for years. The government don't give a shit about anybody on the north side in them. The Malahoys, the Holtz, the Balls Bridges, the Killines, the Dockies, they get out and vote. And who do they vote for? They vote Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Why? Because they promise them money, 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 and safety and security. And we'll keep them drug dealers, scumbags away from you. And every time they put their head up over the parapet, oh, they're at fault. They're the scum. They're the ones we need
okay,
to
so how do you, how, okay, well then, look, we are where we are right now. How do you tackle these running protests on the streets, this violence on the streets? How do you tackle that? Because the police are now being accused of two-tier policing in Britain. We've seen that here, by the way, heavy-handedness by the police too. But how do you tackle it when you've got people setting fire to buildings or turning over cars or smashing up, you know, neighbours' windows? I seen there was a group of people yesterday walking around the streets in London just randomly smashing people's windows.
Okay, and have you been seeing what's coming out over X? You won't see it on any dimension. You've literally gangs and gangs of Muslim men.
I've seen it, yeah.
Cities and hatches, yeah. And the police saying, I've no, we're here to protect you. So what do? Do we just... So we have the two gangs now, okay? We've this side and that side. We've the police in the middle. Look what's happening up the north. The one thing the government never wanted, Catholics and Protestants walking together. Who did the RUC bat in charge? Did you hear what's coming out there yesterday about using live rounds, rubber bullets? Use that up the north. They won't use that on the mainland of England. They would never use that down here. They won't use a water cannon in England. They're not allowed, but they're allowed to use it over here. Come on, it's two-tier policing. We mean nothing to them anymore now, Niall. We mean nothing to them. We have gone too westernised. We've gone too liberal. We let our women and our girls do what they want. They cover them up. I have a whole family beside me now. I've told you this before. They're not allowed to integrate with us. They're not allowed. We've tried everything. Okay. We've invited them out to integrate. They're not allowed. Their kids have to cover up. His wife has to cover up. But they're the ones that are being oppressed.
Okay, listen, Jason, thank you. I have a lot of people to get to. Thank you for that, Jason. Let me just go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Hi, we echo what Jason was saying.
Yeah, but is it easy for us all just to blame the government? Do we not have to take some responsibility? Well, not us personally, but the people who are causing the riots.
Well, obviously, like, I mean, nobody could condone going around damaging private vehicles, breaking windows and shops, breaking windows and houses. But, I mean, that element, I mean, I wouldn't support in a million years. But as I guess people coming out on the streets, and there are tens of thousands, I would. And Jason was right there, but he said they're about the Catholics and the Protestants and the North, right? Whoever thought we'd see today. I mean, Jack Lynch went on television in the 1970s when Catholics were being murdered and burned out of their homes. And he said the Irish government will not stand idly by. And that's exactly what he did. But the people now here in the South are not standing idly by. They're going up to help their brothers in the North and sisters. And vice versa will come the other way. This is going to end up in civil war. And it looks like the Garda commissioner doesn't give a damn.
But nobody wants that. I'm sure the government don't want that, and I certainly don't want that. Nobody wants that situation to happen.
But sure, I mean, it's
so. How do you rescue that situation from happening? Because look, by the way, you know, the people who are out there smashing windows and turning over cars are not the same as you, John. Yes, you protest. Yeah. Yes, you know, you would be considered right-wing, according to the government. Well, maybe they call you far-right, actually. They call me far-right. I'm not going to get involved in violence, nor are you. So how do you stop those elements of society that are going to cause violence?
Well, you can't, you see, because look, there was a saying there for a while about taking the gun out of Irish politics. They want to be very careful, like it wouldn't be put back in, because there's dangerous elements out there in society. And if they think all the weapons were handed up, even watching that program there, inside the care, the guys admitted themselves that the countries are washed with money, with guns. Every drug dealing shipment comes in, there's a shipment of guns comes in. Simple as that, right? Mm. And if they continue this on, I mean, when you have public representatives like Malachy Stevenson, right, that was elected by the people in his area, being pepper sprayed into the face when they were trying to have dialogue with the public guard units, and him and other elected officials were pepper sprayed. That will show you the contempt that's out there for the Irish people. When they would do that to elected members, what would they do to the civil population?
All right, listen, John, thank you very much indeed. Let me just go to Eileen and Morris before we finish. Eileen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to add very much at all, probably, to the last three speakers.
Have you been watching what's happening in the UK? I watch it with horror. Actually, it is horrible to see.
Well, it's disgraceful. Of course, it is, and you cannot condone violence on that level in any shape or form. But on the other hand, there's no way that can be condoned. It's completely and utterly immoral and wrong on all levels, and it's illegal, of course. But people are not being listened to. And there is such thing as full spectrum dominance and hybrid This is a method of attacking loads of sectors of society all at the same time. Cyber, food, there is such thing as weapons of mass migration. And that's what's happening here. And, you know, we have Helen McEntee and, what's her name, Hazel Shue lately.
Hazel Shue, yeah. Saying,
yeah, of course there can be dialogue. Of course there can be dialogue, but no veto. So what's the point in having dialogue if people are just nodding in agreement and not listening? And I don't
like the no veto line, because it really annoys me, because they go on and say you can't have a veto on who lives in your neighbourhood, which is completely untrue, by the way, legally. Because, you know, if you live in a house and they decide to build an apartment block with 100 apartments across the road from you, you do have a veto. You can go down to your local planning office and you can object to it.
You can object.
And as a residents association, once you're established more than 2 years, you can object. And there could be elements to those 100 apartments that could be changed. It might be reduced to 50. They might have to change the colour of the building, plant more trees or put a road up to it or something like that, because you objected. So people do have a legal objection. The problem is, when it comes to accommodation for refugees, the government brought in emergency legislation that no planning is necessary.
But you see, look at the communities they're doing this to. They're doing it to communities where there are very limited resources anyway, where there's miles of a waiting list, years for to get children looked after or whatever. And all, you know, they're doing it to the very, they're not doing it to middle class or better off societies, because first of all, they wouldn't get away with it, and people would have more of a voice and would have more of a voice that would be listened to. And these people here, and they come out in their droves, and there's nobody listening to them. And they are right.
And without anyone, Eileen, very quickly, that's our issue here in Ireland. In Britain, the issue seems to be slightly different. It has moved on, because, as people have rightly said, we're about 10 years behind Britain when it comes to this. Although I think we're catching up very quickly because of the amount of people that are coming in a very short space of time. In Britain, the issue seems to be cultural. It seems to be more about, you know, I suppose, a takeover, essentially, as far as many people believe, or people in London and across Birmingham and other places, Liverpool, believe that, you know, they're, I don't know, scared, they fear this extreme Muslim community.
But they're right, and the same thing will happen, because that is the commandment of what Muslims are under, that they go out and they spread their philosophy. And Islam is an ideology that they spread.
Yeah, but so is Christianity. And by the way, somebody sent in a text. Have a quick listen to this text they sent in earlier on, because I said something earlier. And they said, okay, chap, Niall, I like your show and I respect your attempt to side with the people. Now the reason I text is I take issue with you saying that Islam and Christianity are same or similar, because they both have extremist elements. Now, Niall, you're college educated and I have an intercept education, but even I know that isn't remotely accurate. The difference between Christianity and Islam, well, let me finish what he says. The difference between Christianity and Islam can be explained easier by the teachings, base teachings. Jesus teaches love thy neighbour, sums up the Bible pretty much. Islam, however, and the Prophet Muhammad and his Quran killed the infidel, and it's okay to marry kids. Now, can I just point out something here, okay? He says, I bet you won't read it out. There you go, I just did. You know, what he's doing is subjective there, and he's selecting. By the way, I'm not having a go at either holy book, right? But what I'm saying is, if you look at the original, I suppose, the King James Bible, for example, it talks about the death sentence for infidelity. It talks about the death sentence for certain things that we would even mock or laugh at nowadays. So, you know what I mean? You can't, don't take books literally. And the same would go for the Quran. There are, you know, Muslims who take the Quran very seriously and what it says and interpret it in a certain way, which would be quite violent. There are other Muslims who don't, just like most Christians don't interpret the original Old Testament of the Bible. You know what I mean?
But we do interpret it. And we interpret it in the time that it was written. But Jesus changed all of that. The new law is what we are under. We love everybody. There is no killing of anybody. You know, Muslims still think that they believe that it's okay to stone somebody to death for infidelity and have the person covered up first up to the waist. So dig a hole.
Part of what you're talking about is more cultural than based directly on the religion. It's in certain parts of the world where they practice Islam. It depends on your interpretation. Like, as I said, Ibrahim Noonan comes out to the show on a regular basis. And I know I'm not too sure of the different sects of Muslims that are out there, but the particular Muslim group that he's belonged to, they don't believe in all that stuff. They don't believe in it.
when jihad is called.
Yeah, Sunni and Shia. There's Sunni and Shia Muslims, obviously, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
When jihad is called, they have to obey the call. And I know somebody who was actually told by his neighbour that, Tony, I like you. When jihad is called, I will make it very quick. I will cut your throat. You won't even know. It'll be over.
Well, I wouldn't be living next door
and
to him.
And these guys were neighbours for 15 years. And he couldn't believe. They said, hello. They did the usual things in the morning. How are you? Get the papers, all that. And he said that to him. When jihad is called, they won't have a choice. And it is not coincidental that Muslims are moving west. There is loads of Muslim countries that they can move to. Why don't they? You know, we have here now halal killing. It's been there for a long time. The cruelty that the animals are subject to alone.
I know.
You know, and, you know, it's our whole philosophy, our whole society on Christian principles. Theirs is not. They come from a different line.
So you're saying you understand why this upset or is happening in the UK currently at the moment?
I do. I don't condone it, but I understand it totally. Of course I do. And the exact same thing is happening here, and it's going to happen here, and people need to wake up. And there's a war on children. What they're being taught of, the abortion, 52,000 children dead. Like, it is scandalous what's after happening here. And people need to go back and read their Bibles and practice, because it's a spiritual war that's going on, and we need to tool up with what we're told, with love and prayer, and act with justice. What's happening is wrong, but it's understandable. And that guy Allen who said it, yes, our government are puppets. They are puppets, and it's not just the EU. They're under the Bilderbergs and WEF and the secret societies. And
well, I'm not going to disagree that Ireland has... Well, no, Ireland, sorry, I'm running out of time, but I'm not going to disagree that Ireland has lost its sovereignty. To who, I don't know, but it's certainly Europe is part of it. Listen, Eileen, thank you very much indeed for that. Morris, just finally, thank you very much indeed. Morris, go ahead.
Hi, Niall. Yeah, I was just wondering at the weekend when I seen all the violence all over the place. It was one anniversary that was lost in all this. 22 years ago on Sunday, Holly and Jessica were murdered in England. Do you remember the two little girls?
Yeah, I do indeed, yeah. Wait.
That was 22 years ago. Yeah, Ian Huntley.
And Maxine Carr.
Violence. There you go. And that was lost in that. Those two children will be remembered forever for all the wrong reasons. But it was all missed because of the violence that's going on in England and in Ireland. We're heading that way sort of now, but...
Is he still alive, by the way, Ian Huntley? I know he gets the odd hiding in jail every now and again. You often see a story in the paper that he gets...
As far as I know, yeah. But like I said, look at the violence. Look how bad the country has got since then. But then again, as somebody said to me in a conversation, any country that colonised another country is paying the price now because they're all coming back to haunt the colonisers. He said, this is where it all stems from. The colonisers are getting their payback for what they done to country years ago. And that young fella that killed the kids, he was looking for retribution for the genocide in Rwanda. But the true nature of the way England is going now, Scotland and Wales, with them attacking each other on the street, seeing grown men and young men, oh, I'm here to save England, going into shops and robbing phones. How many years did the people get in England, Niall, last week or the week before for blocking in the M25?
5 years.
Was it 4 or 5?
Five years.
I put them fellas that they caught coming out of the shops with the phones and all the goods. 15 years to 20, because they're not there to save anybody. They're there just as robbers and looters and people that don't care about that country. And my wife has just shown me...
To be fair, 15 years for robbing a phone. Yeah. I mean, I know you want to make an example of somebody and understand the point you're trying to make and that they made last week with those guys by putting them in jail for 5 years. But you also want to make sure that people believe they still have a right to protest. Now, I know that's not protesting. I get that before you say anything.
That's thuggery. Yeah,
but it is thuggery. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But I think, you know...
And the violence...
Yeah, but hold on. They'd be martyrs. Yeah, but if you put John... Yeah, absolutely. But John, who's caught doing that, you put him in jail for 15 years, right, for criminal damage and for robbing a mobile phone, which normally would only have a one-year sentence maximum, probably. You know, he's going to be a martyr, and that's going to create another riot. So that's not going to solve any problems.
No, I think it'll teach the rest of them a lesson and they won't do it again. Make an example of them. Now Starmer has just had to put out a statement from Downing Street. He's just handed the police $29 million to protect all the mosques throughout the UK. That's going to flare up again, you know.
But what about? But hang on, you know, protect the mosques. What about the groups of Muslim men who are walking around? I've seen the videos, walking around yesterday with machetes in their hands, shouting Allah Akbar, you know, and looking for, and we're looking for Englishmen. What about all them?
Yeah, exactly. I know.
So why is Starmer saying I'm not going to protect the British people too? Or the English people?
There you go. And do you know what I was made aware of at the weekend? 40 years ago, a solicitor went into court and fought a battle for migrants to get benefits. Do you know who that solicitor was? Starmer. Starmer.
Why doesn't that surprise me? I've no idea why. Well, they didn't actually really vote for him. He didn't get any more votes than they got the last time. The only reason he got in was because Rishi didn't get any votes. The Tories didn't get votes.
One thing I think that's lost in all this, Niall, is, you know, it's very easy to point the finger at the new government. The Tories wrecked that country for over 13 years and walked away. And he has to fix it.
Yeah, no, you're saying it's very easy. It is very easy because, let's be clear, we know the type of person he is and he's tackling this wrong. He's clearly tackling the problem wrong by making statements like that. By talking about people who were at the protest last week, which was a very peaceful protest, by the way, 100,000 people dressed her. By calling them all far right thugs, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's not the way to deal with these situations. By silencing people by labelling them is not the way to deal with these. He's dealing with it badly, and he's going to pay the price for it. He's going to be out of power very quickly.
Breaking into hotels and trying to set it on par with people in there's not the way to go
answer.
Either.
No, it's not. Not the no. answer.
But Morris, all I'd say to you is, hopefully things won't get any worse here, but I did see two water cannons being transported from the north of Ireland down to the south last week, and they're in the Phoenix Park in the depot. Mm. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. Absolutely, Morris. Listen, thank you very much indeed. I appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who got involved in today's show. I really appreciate it. In case you're wondering why the camera was off, the reason is so I was like, go like this, because I did my back in yesterday and I'm in severe pain at the moment. So that's, I'm really uncomfortable. So that's why they turned the camera off, because it was just awkward for me. We really appreciate you joining us today. Don't forget, by the way, please do support the show. I put a tweet up yesterday asking that you support us, that, you know, when I look at RTE getting their 725 million, and we find it difficult just to make €725, which doesn't cover our bills every single month. It's really difficult for us. And, you know, we don't get paid. We'd like to get paid. There's three of us here working on the show. We'd like to actually get paid to do it, but we don't. So please do support us. If everybody who listened to this show daily, not just on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and everybody else, and downloaded, which is 750,000 roughly, or 80,000 last month, 780,000 people who watch this show every single month. If they all gave us even 2 cents or a cent every time they watched it, we would have three jobs and we wouldn't have to worry about it. And we wouldn't have to keep begging off you all the time. So please go to our website, nileboylan.com. Donate if you can. We really appreciate it. And or subscribe to the show. You can subscribe $5.99 a month. As of from next week, by the way, we have to change things, how we do things slightly. Because there comes a point where, you know, if we can't get the donations or subscriptions, that somehow we have to try and make money out of advertising or something like that. We didn't want to have to do that. But what we're going to have to do, as of next month, is instead of having it live on Twitter, there will be a link on Twitter, which will take you to our website. That way we can have a little bit more control over the show ourselves, because we don't want to be reliant on social media in the future either, because there's always this fear that social media like Twitter, Facebook could be taken down at any time. So we'd be better if you're reliant on our website. So there will be a link to take you where you can watch it live on the website. That'll be happening as and from next week. But we'll tell you more about it when the time comes. Have a great day, a great bank holiday, by the way. And thank you very much to everybody. We could have filled 3 hours today, but I wouldn't have been able for it. But thank you, and we shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.